How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Well, today on the Organize 365 Wednesday Transformational Podcast, we are going to follow up what we started last week with the interview with Emily. And I did not date that interview last week, so I want to let you know the interview with Emily was recorded on May 7th. And it aired on May 20th. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Vanessa, who you've heard on the Wednesday podcast, good friend of mine, and she's also our director of operations here in Cincinnati. We're recording this on May 8th, and we're going to air it on May 27th. And I'm just giving you the dates because literally, when Emily and I were recording on the 7th, we were talking about how, you know, we're shelter in place to the end of May. And as soon as we got off of that podcast recording, they were opening up restaurants the next Friday. So it is so hard to record anything pandemic related because the rules and the situation is changing so much. But we still wanted to record these podcast episodes for a couple of reasons. One, we want you to get a little bit of behind the scenes of what's happening inside of the Organize 365 company, what's happening with the people that you know inside of Organize 365. And then also, this is the easiest way for me to have conversations of people in different life stages. And we're all in an unexpected event. So last week we talked with Emily. She is single. She is in her 40s. And we talked about that. Today, Vanessa and I are going to talk about what it's like to be in midlife with, with middle school, high school, and college age kids going through the pandemic. And then as Vanessa has been promoted to director of operations since the last time she was on, and she's on our leadership team, we'll kind of talk about how when the pandemic hit, we created a leadership team and what we did inside of that in order to ensure as much as we could the success of the Organize 365 brand and company so that we could continue to serve you in the best way possible. So Vanessa, welcome back to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'll just summarize. We met, did we figure out the year? Was it 2000?
I think it was 2007.
2007, when you moved here from North Carolina.
Yeah, we moved here in 2006, but I think I met you the year later because I was, remember Creative Memories, I was under Michelle.
Yeah, so remember we met Michelle? Through Creative Memories.
Yes.
And that's how we got to know each other as friends. Yeah. And then you joined Organize 365 around Labor Day in 2019, which feels like 19 years ago. But it was only 10 months ago.
A lot has happened since then. Yeah. A lot has happened.
Less. It's only been 8 months. I yes. can't believe it. I can't believe it. Yes. But you came on board in a project manager capacity, but I always knew that I wanted you to be our director of operations, and you have just risen to the occasion.
And you're so sneaky that way, sneaking me in. Didn't let me in on that secret.
Well, you know. You know, as you do as a parent, as you do as a business owner, you tell people what they need to know. And to be honest, I didn't want to say, I want you to be our future director of operations, because what if that didn't work? Because, you know, we're really good friends. What if it turned out was project manager was the place that was the perfect fit for you? I just wanted to observe and see. And I've hired before where I hire people at a certain position, and then I say, but the goal is to move you to this position. And I found that that's not necessarily the best for whatever reason. It's better to just see how everything meshes inside of the company and how it moves up. But when you were hired back in September, I was making all of the decisions. I was running everything, and everyone inside of Organize 365 would come to the meetings to find out what needed to be done next. And no one was really on the front end pushing back or encouraging or vetting my ideas in a leadership capacity. So you actually were promoted to director of operations December, January timeframe?
I think it was roughly December, January.
Yeah, I think I gave you the title in December. And then in January, we started to work on what would that look like. And inside of Organize 365, we're implementing EOS, which is the traction model. And we have an EOS integrator. It's John from Worthy Endeavors here in Cincinnati.
And I had had a couple of EOS meetings where it's kind of like in my company, I have an LLC and a corporation. So I go to the bank and I sign for the LLC to give the corporation permission. So I just sign my name everywhere. And when I went to these first EOS meetings, there's a visionary, an integrator, a head of marketing, a head of operations. And I was just all the people. It was just John and me. And he'd be like, okay, so as head of sales, what do you think about this? Okay, so as head of HR, what do you think? And when you came to that meeting in February as the first outside leadership meeting that we had, you represented the Cincinnati team as director of operations. That's right. I represented sales and marketing, HR, and visionary integrator. And then Ray is our fractional CFO. I hired him in December as well. And he only works in our company about 10 hours a month, but he looks at all the books and the numbers like a chief financial officer would, which I'm learning a lot about how, wow, I did not look at money correctly. And so in February, right before all of this happened, we had set up this leadership team and we were bringing you on board into this capacity, just kind of moving the direction of Organize 365 from Lisa doing everything, moving it into this team doing everything. We have since added Emily on as the director of marketing. So she has this seat and she did that in our last EOS meeting at the end of April. So I just wanted to give everyone kind of a structure for where we were going into the pandemic. We were moving from a Lisa organized company to a leadership organized company, and you are a huge part of that.
I know, it's so exciting. And I will back up just a little bit, but one of the things that I loved about when I came on, knowing that we were friends, we had talked about the fact that, you know, if things don't work out, our friendship is more important. Like if this isn't working out for one side or the other, I'd much rather it part on good terms and save our friendship, mm-hmm. you know, and just move on. So I really like that we started it that way with that conversation up front. And then, you know, just joining the team and getting to know everything and learning so much. It's been so amazing. It's been an amazing journey. And I'm just so excited to be here. So thank you for extending that invitation to come work for you, because that was such a blessing, especially since I knew I was in a place where I was not, I don't think my gifts were being utilized the way they should. I wasn't in a position that was for me. So I'm just glad to be where I am in a place that's made for me. So,
well, you guys have not met Vanessa yet, probably, and we're not doing an in-person live event for Embrace, so you won't meet her this year, but Vanessa is salt of the earth, people. Like, she means it. Like, she is the kind of person that you could say, okay, well, you're not in leadership anymore. And she'd be like, okay, fine. She really is so amenable to everything. And I think that in hiring you, I know there is so much that you are going to bring to Organize 365, but I don't think you or I even know what that is yet, because you are such a support person that in every job you've had, and you've had a lot of jobs, you are always supporting and lifting up whatever organization you're a part of, and you're doing whatever needs to be done. And so I'm really excited to see your unique giftings come to life, because they're like bubbling under the surface, but I don't think you or I know what they are yet. And so I just can't wait to see what they are.
Me either. It's exciting to, you know, be able to work for, when you believe in the vision, mm-hmm. and you work with other people who believe in the vision, mm-hmm. you know, it is so fun to be a part of, and it's so mm-hmm. exciting, and it's, you know, one for all and all for one. It's not just that we're working together to do what needs to be done, but we have a purpose. You know, all these people we're serving, like, it's such a blessing to be able to help them, you know, overcome and, you know, be their better versions of themselves that they don't even know they are. You know, it's just like you're saying, that's the same with our customers, our audience, our fans. They're, you know, they just don't even know their potential yet. They don't know that they're, mm-hmm. their goodness yet. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of being a teacher is watching people realize what they were uniquely created for that they never even knew. And the peeling back the onion, as a lot of people will say in our Facebook groups, that like getting organized just peels back the onion on what else needs to be organized in your house, but mm-hmm. also what things you really love that you didn't realize you love and that you're uniquely created to do.
I know. And then when you talk about it in terms of this pandemic, which is unprecedented, to be able to help people realize they can get through this, that they can take the next step forward. They can overcome that anxiety and that fear and that chaos and that sense of out of control and that fear. And to, and you're always that calm in the storm. You're always like, all right, we got this, people. We got this. Look, let's just, you know, settle down and let's focus. And you rail everybody in. You rein everybody in. It's so good. It's awesome. Because you are. Like, I was feeling anxious, and then here you come. And then you just instill calm. It's great. I mean, then that's why people love you. So I know it's why I love you.
You're so sweet. Well, let's go back to March. Let's see. It would have been March 13th. So the 12th. Mm-hmm. Thursday the 12th. I'm coming home from Florida. And as Greg and I were in Florida instead of in Italy, where we were supposed to be on a shorter trip. Mm-hmm. And the whole time we're in Florida and we're thinking, you know, should we be on vacation? Should we even be doing this? We're in the airport on Thursday. And I'm reading an article, which I had Greg read, about flattening the curve. This is before anybody was talking about the curve. Nobody was talking about the curve. And I was like, here's the deal. Here's what needs to be done. Here's what's going to happen. And he was reading that article on his phone. And Greg likes to read the first two paragraphs and then discuss it with you. I'm like, no, no, no. You have to read the whole article so we can discuss the article, not what you think the article is going to be about based on what you heard from somebody else. And the article was long. And I remember standing in that airport and thinking, I have got to tell the team not to worry about their jobs. I have got to tell the team I have a plan. I had no plan. So Greg is reading the article and I am in the Tampa Bay airport and I walk away from him and I get on Voxer and I Voxed you guys. I should have saved that message. I'll have to go back and find it. I Voxed the team. We had a great 2019 and there was extra money at the end of 2019. And all of my financial counsel said, oh, this is what you've earned as a business owner. You should take it out. You should start a 401k. You should do this. And I was like, no, I just feel like we need to have 3 months salary. Keep 3 months salary in the bank. And in January, again, I was counseled, take this out. You should do this. And so I got on the Voxer. I said, don't worry. I have 3 months salary. And our company is not debt-free. We use credit cards. We have lines of credit because we have physical inventory. I'm comfortable with that. Greg and I have always been comfortable with using the financial institutions as they're designed to, you know, we have a mortgage on our house. Like we utilize the banking system and the debt system. So I not only knew I had cash for at least 8 weeks of salary, but I also knew I had lines of credit and credit available to me that we could run the company for at least 2 months, no problem. And the first thing I wanted to do was reassure the company that your salaries were in the bank somewhere and that you were going to have a job at least for the next 2 months and we would figure it out. Now, saying that today, it seems like, wow, that was really brilliant. At that time, all I was thinking was, I know that this is paying some people's mortgage. I know that there are going to be so many things that we have to decide in the next however many weeks. I just want people to realize we're going to decide them. You don't have to be worrying the entire time about if you're going to have a paycheck. If I didn't have money 8 weeks later, that meant that a lot of things had gone wrong and nobody could anticipate what that was going to be. So we landed on Thursday night. I went straight to Walmart and bought ridiculous things that I didn't even know if we needed because I knew that that was happening. And then I got up Friday. I didn't even go through my email. I went straight over to the warehouse. It was Friday the 13th. And boy, was it Friday the 13th. And we had meetings and we looked at inventory and I went through all the money with Sue, who does our bookkeeping. And I just was there with the team on Friday. We had lunch together. We had a meeting together. We talked about how this was going to impact our families because the shelter in place order was coming, how we were going to work from home. And I went home that night and normally I don't go to the office. And if I do, it's just for an hour or two, but I was there all day. Like I remember at the end of the day, we were all just kind of sitting there. Like nobody wanted to go home because we didn't know what was going to happen after we went home. Yeah, it was just surreal. And I woke up on Saturday morning and I was like, okay, I need to make a plan. I think when I walked in on Friday morning, I had this document that we've gone over and it's called Wartime. And I had a list of everything we were going to stop doing in Organize 365, what we needed to finish, what we were going to continue, what was going to be green lighted, no new projects. Like, I don't care if it's a printable, no printable could be made if it doesn't go through Lisa. And then I immediately instituted that we were going to have leadership meetings every Wednesday, you, Emily, and I. We promoted Emily to leadership. And then you, Emily, and I started having huddles on Friday and Monday mornings. So every 3 days, we would get together, the three of us, and we would decide, or we would tell each other what was going to get done. And I was doing it not just from a community building. It was selfish. I was like, okay, fine. I have 8 weeks worth of cash to pay everyone, but every minute the people are working, we have got to be focused on the most important thing. Nothing superfluous. I want to hear what you're doing in the next 48 hours so I could tell you not to do that or to do it so that the company will survive. And the first couple of weeks, I know when I went into those meetings, like I prepared and I had a list and I was saying, what are you going to get done? And you and Emily are like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, I was like, okay, not that, this. Like, I was very teachery in those first 2 weeks, for sure. It wasn't until the last 2 weeks that I've kind of loosened the reins and now we do more of a chit chat type thing. But what do you remember about that that transition from that Voxer that I sent to that all day meeting on the 13th and
including
the leadership meetings?
Gina, it's so funny. So I remember, I mean, my family just came off of a loss of my sister-in-law. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was a huge loss. We were all very close. And then the pandemic hit. And then, you know, in that chaos, and when you're dealing with such different kinds of emotions and you kind of get to where you're just not quite shut down, but you're sort of numb. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to think, what to feel, what to do. And so when you came in, so just like when, you know, with our audience and the 100-day program and stuff, it's okay, let's focus.
Yep.
You know, it's not going to be perfect. We don't have this quite figured out, but we're going to move forward. And this is how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it together. And we're not going to worry about, you know, everybody has a job. That's not going anywhere. So we don't have to worry about that. So we're just going to focus on these main things that need to be done, mm-hmm, and not worry about all the other little things. And we're going to give each other grace because we're going to have ups and downs. And that's exactly how it went. And it was really good to have those, to meet those Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and to have those focus meetings and exactly what we were going to focus on. And that way we can work with our teams and tell them, okay, let's focus on this. Let's not worry about this other stuff. Again, you were the calm in the storm and you just helped us stay laser focused. And, but yet you were still concerned, like, and you asked each of us how we were doing individually and collectively. So, that goes a long way. You know, when you take just a few minutes to ask somebody, so how are you doing? You know, how are things at home? Are you feeling okay with this? Are you comfortable with this? What is our comfort level with coming to work or working from home and that sort of thing? And you came up with a plan and it was really good. We were able to let one of our employees work from home because everything that she did, she could do from home. Mm-hmm. We planned for that. We also planned so that when we worked from home, I think we pretty much had everything we needed at home so that we had no idea if, like, the next day they were going to tell us to close our doors, and we wanted to be able to function and serve our audience. We wanted to be there for them just as much as we wanted to be there for each other. So that was, you know, you had really good plans and we worked well together during that time. So it really was like wartime. It's like, okay, what can we do? What can we plan for? And then what's out of our control? And we're going to have to let that go.
Yeah. And I kept thinking, well, if we get this done, then I'll be able to give the team time. Like, I knew as we were doing it, because I was also hearing about, you know, mental health and stress. And I was like, gosh, I would love to say, okay, this Friday, everybody, we're just going to take a day for whatever you need. And I was like, no, Lisa, don't do it. Keep going. Nobody took vacation time. No one took any time off. We went for 6 weeks straight, everyone working all the hours they normally work for us, some more. And in hindsight, while I wanted to give that time off for mental health, I honestly think the fact that you had your job at the same pay, those same hours, probably was better mental health because it gave you the security of your paycheck, but also the structure of the job that you are doing, that you're good at. And our company is unique in that we have 10 team members, but they're divided into these two teams. Emily does marketing and sales, and you do Cincinnati operations. Our Cincinnati team is W-2 employees, and our marketing team is mostly remote contractors, except Emily is a W-2 employee, but she's remote. So we have exceptions on both teams, and the teams needed very different things. The remote workers under Emily, and now when we did our last marketing meeting, we realized there are actually also 10 contractors under that. So her team is very large, literally around the world, and they work varying hours. Your team that you're responsible for are used to coming to this warehouse and this culture that we've set up in person. Our culture isn't as much online. How do you maintain that culture when you send everybody home, you know?
Well, and the saving grace with that, obviously, is the Zoom, right? Zoom, Google Hangouts. I mean, you know, we have the blessing of technology on our side. You know, we might complain about it a lot, but during this pandemic, it has been, you know, saving a lot of people. You get to see somebody's face, even though you can't be with them in person. You can at least see them and see their body language and laugh and and all that, you know, or cry, whatever you needed. Like, you could do it. And I even got my mom and my aunt on there last weekend, and that was awesome. Like, it was so good to see them. I hadn't seen them in a long time, especially my aunt who lives in Arizona. But during that time, it was a great way for our team to be able to see each other when we couldn't be together. And that goes a long way with, you know, keeping morale high and checking in. Like, even with one of our team members, Shona, like, she's fairly new, and, you know, we're used to working side by side and seeing each other every day. Well, our once a week meetings, I just knew weren't going to cut it. And so, like, our leadership team, where we increased our meetings, I did that with Shona, and I wanted to be able to touch base almost every day, if not every day during the week, and be able to check in. How are you doing? You know, how are things? And just a little bit more just to keep that morale going, just to keep connected, you know?
Yeah, everything I was hearing in podcasts that I was listening to about leadership said, A, have a plan. Do not go to the team and go, what do you think we should do? Not the time for that. Have a plan, pick a plan, run the plan, over-communicate the plan, communicate, communicate, communicate. And then the second thing that kind of happened with these huddles is, like, so I had never done huddles, and a huddle is supposed to be a stand-up meeting, and it's done in 3 to 5 minutes, and it's your action plan, and you go. And when I instituted those in the middle of the pandemic, or at the start of the pandemic, I was like, this is going to be our in-out meeting. You're going to give me what I need to know. And I could be task-oriented. And quickly, those meetings became 30 minutes long each time. And I thought, well, that's 30 minutes and we should be doing these things in my head, because my expectation was, and this is with organizing, you guys, our expectation is it's all going to match and be labeled with a Cricut maker. Like, I need to be instituting huddles and they need to be stand up in 5 minutes and in and out and very actionable. But what ended up happening was they were 30 minutes and was, how's your weekend and what's going on with your family? And then, okay, what are you going to do in the next, you know, 48 hours, what's your team going to do in the next 48 hours? And eventually I finally just called it out, so that if I would call it out, then I could at least say it's purposeful, kind of like, okay, fine, I'm going to functionally organize. I'm not going to Pinterest organize. I said, look, these meetings are 30 minutes on Mondays and Fridays. It wasn't my intention, but that is the amount of time we need for us to connect on a personal level, figure out what our actionable to-dos are, and also discuss as a leadership team what ideas are percolating among our customers, among our team members, among us. And we're just going to say, this is going to be 30 minutes. And we all said, good, because it's going to be 30 minutes.
Yeah, that worked out really well. And having the leadership team do that, I think, was really important, because then that just trickles down right into our teams. So that was really a blessing during this whole time.
Yeah. And to be honest, these team meetings we're talking about, where, like, on Friday we meet with the Cincinnati team, and twice a month we meet with the marketing team. The marketing team meetings have been going on for probably a year. That remote team is much more seasoned than our Cincinnati team. The Cincinnati team meetings had started in January. They started, like, in the middle of January, those weekly meetings. So we had started to put these building blocks in place, but it wasn't like, oh, well, we just moved this meeting to that time. No, these were like, it was brand new meetings with staff changes constantly. And we were not great at doing these meetings, but we just doubled down on the meetings because everything I was hearing in podcasts and from articles I was reading was communicate, show leadership, and the communication has to happen through, we have a weekly snapshot that Emily does on Voxer where she tells us all everything that's going on in the company. We all have meetings that we go to each week so we can be up to date. And we really pulled on everybody in the team, ask questions of Vanessa and Emily, and then they come to the leadership meeting. The three of us make decisions, and then Vanessa and Emily take those answers back to the team. That's not how it was before the pandemic started.
Yeah. And that's really a good system to start modeling as we go forward and as we grow, because we are growing. And it's great to have that framework, that foundation in place so that we can expand upon it as we grow, you know. So, and that's, it's been a pretty good system. I think it's been getting better and better.
Well, it's so funny. We just had our first team meeting where we all got together because the last team meeting was this wartime document that I sent out. That's what happened. I sent out the wartime document on Monday with a video that you guys watched. And then we got together on Wednesday for our once a month all team meeting where people could ask questions about that document and people had good questions. When I went to do the team meeting this time, because that team meeting was so different, I had to go back to our team meeting agenda of February 2020. And I looked at it and it looked like a preschooler had crayoned all over. I was like, what kind of a meeting was this? Like, we didn't even get anything. How was that a functional meeting? I look back at that meeting and I'm like, well, I need a new meeting agenda, because whatever we were doing in February is so radically different than what we're doing 8 weeks later. Like, I cannot believe how not mature, but we're just so much more focused than we were, even though we had those meetings in place. Like, the pandemic really focused us in so many ways.
And it helped us transform, Lisa. We transformed those meetings.
We did. I mean, we worked on those meetings every week, and they are like clockwork now.
Yeah.
It's really, really amazing.
Yeah. The whole ideas section too. That's really growing in the sense that people are using it. They know how to use it, what it's for, and how, you know, the process works now. So we can.
Okay. People have no idea what you just said. Now you have to explain. What is IDS, Vanessa?
No, you tell it. No.
I want to hear what you say.
Identify, discuss, and solve, right? Solve. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So usually you come to a meeting and you talk about problems and then you kind of go back and forth, and that can take a half hour on even one problem. The way that we do it now is that if we have issues we're coming to the meeting with, we put them at the bottom where it says IDS. Everybody puts their problems there. You go through the first top of the meeting, talk about what's going on, are things going well in those areas, and you just kind of go boom, 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 boom. You get down to the IDS section, and you start picking three most important ones that have to be tackled. You vote on them as a team, and then you can attack them. And then if you tackle those three and you still have time left in your meeting, then you pick a couple more, and then you just keep doing that. And if they don't get solved, they get pushed to the next meeting, but you've at least solved the most important ones, the most pressing ones. And so we've started to where the team members are adding their own ideas, issues to the bottom of the list. And it's, you know, we're moving forward and it's exciting to see.
Yeah. So in February, if there was an issue or a problem or something that needed to be decided, it would be brought up in a meeting, or it would be emailed to me, or, you know, be asked to me in passing, and I would decide. I made all the decisions in Organize 365, good, bad, or indifferent. I made the majority of them, but not anymore.
But and nobody necessarily knew that you made them. So there wasn't always, you know, like, because especially if it was done outside of a meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we come to the meeting and we'd be like, well, that was already solved. Well, what did we decide?
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew. But here we are.
Yeah.
With the new system in place and new process, and it's transformed our meetings.
And we have been trying to get to this IDS system for 12 months. And in some ways, I became very authoritarian in my leadership as we came into the pandemic. Like, Emily and Vanessa, we're having these meetings and they're 8:30 a.m. And it was like, there was no discussion. Like, it was just going to happen. But at the same time, I stopped making all the decisions, which sounds counterintuitive, but I was like, okay, we're doubling down on this system that I've invested in over the last 2 years. We have all the right people in the right seats doing the right things. You are brilliant team members. I don't have to make all these decisions. I can't make all these decisions. Like you said, we just need to know when they're made and push them down in the team. And so those first couple weeks where we were having the meetings, but also on our leadership team and in the Cincinnati team, I wasn't making the decisions. We were doing the IDS. There was frustration. There was frustration on team members. They're like, Lisa, just tell us the answer. I was like, no, I'm not going to. This is going to take so long. We're not going to get to everything. I said, right. That was frustrating, especially in all this uncertainty. Right. You mean to tell me in a pandemic when we're not sure how much, you know, revenue we're going to have coming in that you're going to and also stop making all the decisions? Yes. And at the end, sometimes we would, and I remember there were two different meetings where we identified and we discussed an issue all the way to the end. I said, we're not going to solve it. We're going to wait till next week. And in one issue the next week, I just said, here's the solution. This is what I want done. And another one, I said, oh, okay, you guys, whatever solution you want, that's the one we're going to go with. So sometimes we had to have the whole discussion and then sleep on it in order to make the decision later.
Right. There's times sometimes you need time to process. Mm-hmm. But when this pandemic started and when you took charge, you needed to. You know, we were feeling out of control. We didn't know, you know, everything was uncertain. Everything was up in the air. Everything was chaotic. Everything was unsure. Everything was fearful. Mm-hmm. So you had to give us direction, and you did. And then when you did that, you know, things started to relax a little bit, and then you were able to say, hey, you guys are capable. I hired you because I believe you could do this job mm-hmm. and do it well, and you can make these decisions on your own. And a lot of ideas come from you guys' ideas, mm-hmm. but I've been making all the decisions. So I want to let you thrive and grow and discover that you can do this. You know, yes, some things have to be approved, but once you come to me with what you think the solution is, if it's a good one, you'll accept it. So you hear us and you know, and then there's always a reason. Like if there's something that you want to do that's different than what we thought, once we hear the reason why, we're like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
And but some some issues you guys in the Cincinnati team have solved without me and be like, oh yeah, we did this, we implemented it, the solution is done.
Yeah. I think, you know, we had gotten into the habit of always coming to you and, mm-hmm. and because it's your company and because you're the face of the brand and you are the, you know, you're Lisa Woodruff, you're Organized 365. But you're like, well, yeah, but some of these things you guys can figure this out. And giving people the freedom and the creativity, like there's so much creativity on our team that, you are able to flesh that out of people by using this EOS system and by giving people time. So giving us a video before our meetings, letting us process that, and then coming to you with even some solution ideas. Even if we didn't have the problem solved, if we had ideas to come to you with, like you listen to them and you're like, oh yeah, that sounds really good. Go with that.
And I had to give time for that. So yes. In the past, I'd be like, okay, here's your idea. Here's my solution. I would be trying to give the answer as soon as possible. And I was thinking, okay, we've got 90 minutes for these meetings. Greg thinks that's ridiculous. It's the perfect amount of time, Greg. And I just sit there and I remember the first time we did the IDS where I wasn't going to solve the problem. I knew what I wanted the solution to be. And I said, okay. And I went around the circle and everybody who was in that meeting, I said, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What else? What else? And that's part of that. We've identified the problem. The discussion part is supposed to be the biggest part where everyone there has a say and they get out everything they want to say about that issue and then you solve it. Because a lot of times I would just get, here's the problem, a little bit of a discussion, and then I would make a solution before I heard the whole discussion. And let's just be clear, I'm not a detail person. And there are 10 people on this team for a reason. Some people are really, you know, empathy and detail and process oriented and fun oriented. Like people have a lot of strengths that I don't have. And they bring all these different perspectives to whatever issue we're trying to solve. And sometimes at the end, I would go, oh, you know what? My solution would not have been the right solution. I think we should do this thing over here. Or the team will say, we want to do this and we'll take on the ownership of making it happen. I'm like, fine, then do it. If it was something that was going to take a lot of my time and I didn't have the time at that time to do it, then I would have made a difference. Solution. So anyway, maybe that's more than you guys want. This is the kind of stuff I love to listen to on podcasts. That's why we've kind of dove in deep on this one. I don't even, is dove in deep a word? Dive? Dived? Anyway, somebody will tell. We dived deep. We dived deep on that one. The other thing we did with our team that I did very, very purposefully is in our Voxer app, which is like a walkie-talkie app, we have two channels. We have important. So if a message is on there, everybody on the team is supposed to listen to it within 24 hours. And then we have a thread that is social. And I purposefully went in and started a lot of social threads because a lot of times people don't put anything in there. But if one person puts something in, a whole bunch of people will comment. Not everyone has to. It's the social thread. But I, about the second week into this, I was like, okay, it's heavy. Everything is so heavy. Like we're doing our work at Organize 365. We're being successful, but the world is heavy. Our homes are heavy. The stress is heavy. I was like, we need some outlet. And so I purposely started going into that Voxer thread and putting a funny meme. And then we'd get other memes I started some conversations too. Like what's your favorite thing that you've done XYZ. And then people would comment back. And some days there would be like an hour to 90 minutes of back and forth. And really allowed people to connect on those kind of like water cooler or after hours, way. Anything that you remember or felt about those different Voxer threads that we did?
But one thing that stands out to me is that, you know, there was a period of time in the beginning where I think some of us were focusing on the negative because stuff was coming at us, mm-hmm. you know, personally, mm-hmm. You know, in our homes, with our kids, with our husbands, with our, just everything. And somebody said, I think it was Emily. She's like, you know what? We need to focus on the positive. And she started something. She said something positive. And I'm like, you know what? She's right. And everybody, you know, like, so then we started sharing some positive things so that we could, in the midst of chaos, even if things are falling apart around us, that we could focus on something positive. What can we be grateful for? What, oh, we saw the ducks outside. Oh, we saw the deer outside. Oh, the flowers are growing. Oh, you know, I saw a rainbow. You know, just all, you know, or the kindness of strangers. That was another thing that came up too. There was a kindness. Oh gosh, Emily, the amazing thing she did. She was just involved in a really good outreach thing in her community and so proud of her. And that really just warmed my heart, but like stuff like that. And we could share that and that helped ease some of the tension and some of the anxiety, you know, just to be even able to laugh and say, all right, are you eating or drinking during this whole thing?
Yes,
are you,
exactly.
You know, and the memes that go with that. Oh my goodness, there's so many out there. But just even sharing those things and getting a little chuckle every now and then when you maybe needed it, you know, because things were rough. But yeah. So.
And the emails you guys send in to customer service, the notes you put inside of those shipping, we're not a very big company. I'm just telling you, we ship out like maybe 100 packages a week, maybe. And so those notes would get shared inside of Voxer. We get shared inside of team meetings. Look what this person said. You know, this person shouted out Shona or Sue or whoever. Right. And we read those inside of our company. Like we know who you are that are supporting us. And
We share those in our Voxers.
Oh, all the time.
Take a screenshot of something that somebody has posted on social media and it really lifts our team up too. So thank you so much for your support and the love that you show us because, you know, it means a lot to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to touch also outside of the Organize 365, who's quarantined with you, Vanessa?
My husband, Steve, and my three boys, they're 13, 19, and 21. Mm-hmm. So two college students, one who was a freshman this year, one who just moved into an apartment at college, and then my seventh grader. So it's all of us, me in the midst of all the boys.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, how, because I have two, you know, a high school senior and a college student as well. How this quarantining at home or whatever we're calling it now. There's so many different words. I'm probably using the wrong words. You know, I'm not a detail person. Like, how did, you know, all of this change happens in Organize 365, but you were just a family of three with two kids off to college and then boom, you know, all of a sudden you have five kids at home. So anything you want to share about bringing the boys home from college, how that changed your routine, your dynamic?
Oh, gosh. I just remember it being a scramble to get the boys home. and then the two older ones. And even once we got them home, you know, one of them was living in an apartment, so he still had all his stuff there. But, you know, the freshman cleaned out his college dorm. All his stuff is just crammed into my den. And then, you know, and just try, when are we going to go get the other kids' stuff? He's 2.5 hours away, so it's not a quick trip, you know. It's, yeah, just trying to figure that in. And that was chaos. And then all of a sudden, we had all of his apartment stuff and all of his, you know, two kids' worth of stuff come back to the house and just thrown because it would happen so quickly. It's not like we had time to plan for where it was all going to go. And then I was working from home, so I had stuff. And then, it was just chaos. There was anxiety. There was tension. You know, everybody's back in each other's face and space, and where's everybody going to go, and where's all this stuff going to go? And so figuring all that out and being an adjustment, you know, we just got used to having those two kids away at school and just being Steve and I and our seventh grader. And all of a sudden now we're all back together, thrust back together with no warning, you know, and it was tough. It was really tough in the beginning, but, you know, we kind of leveled out and everybody got into a routine, and I think the boys having to do all their schoolwork online, that was really tough too. That was a big adjustment, and I think only one of them handled it really well. One of them was okay, but drifted off. I mean, you know, online school is not for everybody, mm-hmm. You know, and having that discipline and that self-motivation, especially because Steve and I both still had to work full time.
Right.
We couldn't stand over them and, you know, figure that out. And then if they don't talk to us, which one of them that was really struggling, he really didn't speak up until it was literally Easter Sunday. And we found out he was really struggling, depression, lack of motivation to do work. And you have to understand that in the midst of all of this, we had had significant loss. We had lost Steve's mom back in October. We didn't celebrate her life until Christmas. And then February 29th, we lost Steve's sister, and we were really close with them. That was also my oldest son's godmother, and just significant loss in the midst of all of this. And, you know, how do you deal with your grief, their grief, especially if they don't tell you, and then the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. So both of those losses were not like, neither of those people were sick before and it was expected at all. Both of those were right. Extremely unusual illnesses that quickly
right.
took them that were not COVID-19, but
right. I mean, we yeah,
literally, they were just yeah, shocking. They were both shocking.
Shocking. And so you talk about, you know, that fear too, that we had just come from being down in Atlanta in the ICU for hours with lots of people, and coming home and wondering, you know, okay, did we, you know, we need to quarantine because we don't know. Mm-hmm. And it was rough. I'm not going to lie. I was feeling very anxious. So I was very grateful to have work because it kept me busy, kept me focused. Mm-hmm. But then I feel partly guilty because I felt like I kept so busy that I didn't yep. keep up with my son mm-hmm. and know that he right. was struggling. So,
yeah, we had decided to end Abby's homeschool right before we went to Florida because she was done with what she needed for school. You know, we're not trying to get, you know, some bozo button or something. We'd done homeschool to the extent that she needed for the community college degree she was going to get. And I wasn't going to make up superfluous work for her to do for the rest of March and April. And we had had the plan that she would actually start college in April. In community college and earn a certification before the end of the year in nursing, ironically, an STNA certification. And so when I was focusing on the team, I did not have to create schoolwork for Abby because we had stopped schoolwork. And because things were shutting down, the community college also was shutting down. So we had been spending that time focusing on doctor's appointments and getting things ready. And then the doctor's appointments shut down. So all of that kept coming off of the list. And fortunately, Emily or Abby continued to do her nannying the entire time because the family that she works for is essential. So they were essentially working. She'd already been in that family. It wasn't like she started a babysitting job. They were already basically self-quarantining together. And so she babysat. The first week that we did this, the baby spiked a high fever. And I was like, oh no, you can't go to work. And she's like, I was there yesterday. I'm going to go today. And you know, Abby's 18. My kids are 18 and 20 and they are starting to make their own decisions. And so she went and I was like, oh my gosh, if she gets it and that gets it, you know, your mind just starts to play it out. It's like, you know what, Lisa, until it happens, it hasn't happened yet. And I would say that's something that I continue to do over the last 8 weeks is as soon as my mind starts to go, what if, blah, 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 then I go, look, until it actually happens, I'm not playing the what if scenario card because it hasn't happened yet. And when it happens, then I'll play through all the what ifs, but as long as it hasn't happened yet, we're not going to do it. So that was, you know, she was doing that. And then one of those parents lost their job and they moved. They're moving and rehabbing a house, but they've maintained her at least once a week. She used to work three times a week, but usually twice a week she goes down there. So that has been her stability. And after a couple of weeks, she is starting to get bored. She needed some entertainment. And one of the things we've done in Organize 365 is Abby has worked for us. Your boys have worked for us, you know, as we have some warehouse jobs that need to be done, but can be done from home. We're just sending all the supplies home. And so if you're getting binders, kit it up. There's some college kids doing those from home is all I have to say.
Yes.
You know, providing some structure. And as I said, in planning day, there are three big buckets that we need filled on a regular basis. And I never really realized they were until we were in this pandemic. And the first one is work and routine. And yes, there's the schoolwork, but for kids that are high school and college age, they need work. They need work for money, and they need work for experience on their resumes. And we at Organize 365 just hired a college intern to work with us on SEO in our marketing department this summer. We're super excited about having Milana on board. But that all came about from a LinkedIn post that I saw from the entrepreneurial program at Miami University that said, we just lost 32 internships that these kids were going to do. We need companies that are still working and would like interns. And so we rushed and we got that all put in place. And I'm so glad we did. And, you know, as of the time of this recording, you know, the people that Joey is supposed to intern with are like, yeah, Joey, we would love for you to intern. I don't know if you noticed, but the world's closed. There are no live events. There is nothing to run. Like, we cannot give you hours for events that don't exist. So at the time of this recording, he doesn't have an internship because there is no audio engineering work to be done for him. And so, you know, this is impacting the high school and college age kids as far as earning money for college, earning money for their entertainment, dating. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Are you even allowed to see each other? You know, are you remote dating? It's really, and how they process all that. Normally, when you are in your late teens, early 20s, you process all that with your peers. They're not getting together because their parents have them under lock and key back in their house like they're 12 again. They're like, I've got to get out of here. Like, they cannot process this with the peers that they would normally process it with. And it's challenging.
It's very challenging, especially I have one who's so social. And if it were not for social media, I'll tell you what, mm-hmm. he would be crawling out of his skin because he really struggles. Like, he loves to be with his friends and always busy and always doing something. And I'll say he stepped it up in the working out department. He started working out and he started going for runs around the neighborhood and then coming back and doing, like, you know, tricep dips on the bench outside and pull-ups on the tree limbs. I'm like, and he took my seventh grader out there to do those as well. It was really kind of cute, but we figured out a way to pivot. So, as we say.
What are you seeing that's been positive in your family during this time?
It's been good to be together. For me, it's peace of mind knowing I have everybody under my roof. I like that. When things are not going well, I like to have my family close. So for me, it's that. I think the brothers like being together. There's a lot more wrestling going on, I will say, with the kids. So, you know, and because they bring some dynamic to the, like, all the joking around, all the little, you know, messing with each other and the silliness. I love having that. It breaks up all the anxiety and the seriousness of the situation. And so I think they like having each other and being around each other, for that reason and having us there. Like, even though we're not in their face and we're not always doing something together, we're in the same house. So I think that brings comfort, a certain level of comfort to all of us.
Yeah, and when I think about the wrestling around with kids that are seventh grade and two college age kids, the thing that I have noticed, like, I go over to Greg all the time. He's working at home now. It's right next door. I go over, I'm like, okay, it's hug time. And I'm not a person who hugs my husband like 800 times a day, but during the pandemic, I am. I'm like, hi, another time for a hug. And he's like, oh, I like working from home. But I think it's that physical touch. I mean, yes. At Organized 365, I'm hugging people all the time. Like, Vanessa and I have gotten together and we're like bouncing like little pogos next to each other because we're like, we want to hug. We want to hug. We're not allowed to hug. Why can't we hug? Yeah. It's like, yes. You know, just like it is so hard not to hug. Yes. When we come to the office, we literally shake next to each other like we're not allowed until we're done. to reach out your hand and shake your hand or things like that. And so, if your boys are wrestling, I think they're just trying to get the physical touch without saying, yeah. I need a hug.
Well, and it's nice too, because I'll be at home and there's sometimes I'm on a meeting and I'll close the camera because one of them's woken up and they're going to come give me a hug and I'm going to take that hug. So I kind of pause there every now and then.
You should take those hugs.
I do. I take the hugs.
You can leave the camera on. We want to see those hugs.
Sometimes I do. It depends what meeting and who it is. So, but yeah, I do. I take those hugs and I've been in and hugged my husband more a little bit. So I understand.
And I would say, especially with boys, I knew I was driving Joey to school. I got this sense about the time he was 15 or 16. I was like, Lisa, your years with this one are coming short because wives don't really like mother-in-laws, you know? A mother-in-law for a wife is different than a mother-in-law for a husband. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of expect the mother-daughter thing. Oh, they just go do their thing. But if you're an overbearing mother to a son, you know, it's not always perceived well. And Joey's a lovey guy. He's a lovey, huggy guy. And I thought, you know, eventually there's going to be a wife that's going to be like, all right, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
I don't know.
I take all that I can get.
I'll tell you what, but people, when they have girls, tell them, if you want to pick the right guy, just watch how he treats his mom.
Oh, well, Joey treats me like gold, so.
There you go.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just the hugs. I mean, I'm just saying how they interact with their mom, it's a good indicator of how they're going to be. So I like that. My husband was that way. Very good to his mama.
Yeah, Greg is as well. It's been really hard. She is social isolating at home. Mm-hmm. Her form of entertainment used to be going to all the stores and buying all the stuff. So she has more money in her bank account because she cannot figure out online shopping, and we are not teaching her. But, you know, when you're used to just going to the store and looking and saying hi to people and going to church, and you can't do any of those things, you're at home. It's very isolating. Very isolating. So we are hoping this weekend we're going to have her over to social distance sitting in the yard, but now it's cold. So I don't know, we're probably going to have to push that off again. Because I mean, she is upper 70s, she's high risk and we're taking it very seriously. So,
right. Yeah. That part's the hard part. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who have to distance from their parents, and that's really difficult. Mm-hmm. Really difficult, necessary, but difficult. And my heart goes out to everybody who has to do that. So,
anything else you wanted to share, our team or Cincinnati or your family?
I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for working for a company that I believe their vision and that everybody believes in each other, encourages each other, and lifts each other up. I love that. I love that we're in a place that, you know, even during this time, like, we've instilled praying at our huddles and our leadership meeting. It's helpful during these times, and it has been such a blessing to be able to come together and work towards, you know, reaching out to, when you don't know what to do and you want to contribute, you want to help, because that's how I think our team is. We're all want to help people,
right?
That we're able to do it through our work and to be able to do it in such an authentic way and to actually get feedback on that via social media, like, to just know you're touching people's lives and in turn they end up touching yours. Like, it's just amazing, that circle of whatever you're in, the circle of life, I don't know what it is, but you know, it comes back to you, and it's just so important. And I'm glad to be working for such a cause and for you and on such a team that I just absolutely love and cannot wait to see them in person when we're allowed. It's just going to be so fun.
Yeah, we've canceled our annual team meeting where people fly in so that we're all together in June. We went ahead and canceled that last week. We probably could do it. I mean, there are only 10 of us. So even in the state of Ohio, you can meet in a section of 10. Clearly, with the size of the new warehouse we're moving into, we could do social distance times 10. Signed that lease in February, couldn't get out of it. Although I think it's for the better. I just think everything that, you know, you look at how we'd started these meetings in January and then they helped us in the pandemic. I hired a CFO in December and then he helped us as soon as the pandemic started. He's like, here's where all your cash is. Here's what you need. We had just secured a larger line of credit in February as well. He's like, you need this much. And now he said, we're courting banks and we're going to secure an even bigger line of credit before the end of the summer. Just a lot of the things we had done in prior to the pandemic have ended up being a blessing. And I am choosing to believe that the fact that we signed a lease for a large warehouse space was done. It wasn't done without looking at the numbers and the plan. And so I'm just trusting that this is for us and that we are going to be so glad that we went ahead and made that move. Even though as the pandemic was unfolding, I did try to get out of it. They did not let me out of it. So I'm still doing it. And just you too, as you're listening, like you're like, I don't know why this is happening. Just what if it's happening for you and not to you? What if this really is for you and not to you, no matter how good or bad, whatever it is? I mean, maybe you're supposed to leave that job and move into a new job. Maybe, you know, whatever it is, it's happening for you and not to you. And when you just reframe it that way, that this is happening for me and not to me, you start to see possibilities of how that could be true, even if you couldn't see them before. And so I just look, as I go forward, some of the time I think, boy, Lisa, you are delusional. You just think you could just, you know, get a larger line of credit and move this thing and tell me, keep, build it and they will come, guys. Build it and they will come. Keep going. But until I see otherwise, I'm going to. And we will say it again. Your emails, your social media messages, your notes and your shipping orders, you encourage us so much. The emails and that I have gotten, the letters that I have gotten during this pandemic about how much Organize 365 has given you peace, has given you focus, that you speak to me, that you feel that I am creating a company that I'm supposed to create that is going to reach so many, and that you see that for me, just like I see in you and I see in my team what they don't see, you see in me what I don't see in me. It is humbling and awesome because my love language is words of affirmation, and I love it. And thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for encouraging me.
Yeah, we can always find blessings in the midst of chaos if we just pause. Mm-hmm. Just pause. Sometimes, I just remember, actually, my brother-in-law told me that at my wedding. He's like, this day is going to go by so fast. Remember to stop and look around and just look at everybody. And I just find myself doing that more and more just throughout life. Like, just pause. And then look around and just see the blessings that are there for you and receive them. You know? All right. What's next? And you'd be surprised. I love that. I love how that happens.
I mean, it is scary and it is not over. Like we are not done with this pandemic. By the time you're listening to this, I mean, you could be like, oh, they are so way off. I can't believe they were thinking that on May 8th because the world is like this now. So it is scary. There is a reason to be fearful. It is not over. But there is also reason for hope. And if you look at what your family is doing and what your community is doing and what the healthcare community is doing, we are amazing people. Just because we are collectively fighting an invisible foe does not mean that we collectively cannot encourage and lift each other up and come together in a new and meaningful way. It's just different. We didn't all of a sudden, because of this pandemic, all become selfish, useless people. We're amazing. We're just going to be sharing our gifts in different ways, and our lives are going to continue to transform and be different than they ever have been before. I mean, Vanessa, you mentioned social media. Had this happened 10 years ago, we would not all have been connected on social media, and therefore we would not be able to encourage each other and to collaborate as much as we are. So maybe this pandemic is perfect timing. It better that it happened now instead of 10 years ago. And just, there is always good to be seen. No matter how dark the day seems, there's always a silver lining. I know it's Pollyanna-ish, but I've been through a lot of dark days. And if, and you have a choice. You can look at the good or you can look at the bad. You can look at the hopeful of the future, or you can worry and be depressed about the bad of the past. It's a choice.
Yeah. I remember when I start to feel and think about all the things that are happening to me and all that's negative, all that's wrong, all that's happening, I found that if I think about what I can do for someone else, if I can start to focus on someone else, how can I be a good neighbor? How, who can I call? Who can I bring cookies to? Who can I, you know, make a trip to the grocery store for, or, you know, whatever blessing, whatever, what can I do during this time? And then it takes that pressure off and it takes that focus off and it helps to think outside of myself. And I find when I do, there's more blessing in that. Mm-hmm. Than focusing on myself and my problems and what's going wrong in my world. There's a bigger world out there, even if it's just outside my door and it's just my neighbor. Some people can go big and they're making masks for everybody and stuff. I don't have that gift, but I can bake cookies or go to the store for somebody, or, you know, my son can mow someone's lawn for them because they can't do it themselves, or whatever the case may be. But that tends to help me, and I try to focus on that.
Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on this very different, but I think very beneficial podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. And next week, we've got another Organize 365 team member. I'm so excited that she said yes. So we'll be giving you... Oh, I can't tell you because it's a surprise. It's a surprise. Here's your hint, Vanessa. She'll be giving you a perspective of life with much younger children.
Ooh, I think I know who it is.
All right, guys, we will hear you next Wednesday. And then also, you know, we have new podcast episodes on Friday as well. Thanks for joining us.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.